So for this morning, we're going to begin a four-part series, okay? And it's going to start today, and then we'll go the next 3 weeks. It's hard to believe just 3 weeks from today is going to be right around Christmas. But that's the truth of the matter. But I want to start a series called The Fear Nots of Christmas. All right, The Fear Nots of Christmas. And we're going to be looking at four individuals who are closely tied to the story. We're going to look at Joseph. We're going to look at Zacharias. We're going to look at Mary. And we're going to look at the shepherds and the fear nots that were pronounced to them, and also the promise that accompanied those words of fear not, do not be afraid. So this morning we're going to be in Matthew 1. If you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there shortly. We're going to look through, as I said, Joseph. So in just a minute we'll be there, but we always like to talk before we get going. So this may seem like an odd topic, right? I mean, usually when we think of Christmas, nobody thinks of fear. But I think when fear is present, and where fear is present, then peace will not exist, joy will not exist, hope will not exist, comfort will not exist, light will not exist, because what's governing us is fear, and it's kind of got us suppressed. So we want those things to be live, to be active in us, so we're going to look at how that can be a reality for us here today. So help me out here. What are some things that you think people can fear this time of year? What's a legitimate fear that maybe you have or you think somebody else might have? The flu. All right. Yeah, for some people that is a legitimate scare, right? It can do some serious damage. What else? What other kind of fears do you think people have? Death. Oh, debt or death. Yeah, so we think of debt, right? We focus so much on the morning, Christmas morning, and all the excitement of the moment. But then what comes in January? The bill, right? It's like, man, how can I pay that? Right? So we get fearful and worried about the debt that we've accrued through the gift giving. What else do you think of when you think maybe somebody might be afraid? What's a fear? Okay, of the weather. So we could have a fear of falling. All right. What about being alone? I think a lot of people are alone at Christmas, and there's just kind of this afraid of spending the holiday by myself and nobody else is around. And for some of you, and we all have probably family members or friends who this year is going to be the first year that a spouse is going to spend Christmas by themselves, or their children are not going to have mom or dad there. And so there's this kind of fear of, you know, what's it going to be like? It's not going to be the same. Just kind of worried or concerned about that. Have you ever feared giving the wrong gift? You know, I hope that they'll like this, because you've given a gift before and somebody went, ugh. Or you saw that it was regifted next year or something like that. What about a fear of receiving a bad gift? You know, where you have to smile real pretty. Oh, that's what I always wanted. Yeah, re-gift for sure, right? So there's a fear there. I think there's a fear of wanting to do stuff for your children and not being able to do so. You know, and Christmas comes around and your children are so excited, and it's like, you know, some people just don't have any means whatsoever to do anything for their children. And so there's the fear of disappointment in their kids' faces and they're feeling like they've let their family down or something like that. For a lot of people, I think there's a fear of losing their job. Now, this is a high time for jobs because it's the business or the Christmas season. But following that, they tend to start laying people off and cutting things back. So is this temporary job really a temporary job? You know, am I going to have a job a month from now or 6 weeks from now? Things like that. I think that's a legitimate fear. And as I said earlier, I think a fear for me anyway is missing the true purpose of the season. There was one Christmas where that happened to me. It became January 1st and it was just gone. And I don't just went through the motions or whatever, but it just, I did not reconnect and was not renewed in what God had done in gifting Jesus to us. And so I work hard personally just for me to make sure that I'm, my heart and my time and my life is not overbooked and is lined up to remember the Lord. So for today, we're going to look at Joseph. And we're going to see this guy has a legitimate fear. And the angel's going to pronounce it to him, and we'll look into that today and see how he responded. And try to see how we can respond, maybe if we're battling fear as well. So if you've got your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to find an angel talking to Joseph. Now, a baby around Christmas time is exciting, right? We like that kind of stuff. So you would think Mary and Joseph having a child would be a time for great joy. Right, what's the problem here? All right. This is not Joseph's child. And so that's kind of a mood killer, right? That's kind of a romance killer. If you're having dinner with the woman or man that you were betrothed to, and betrothal is more than engaged. Betrothal requires a divorce. It's not married. It's not all the way there yet, but it's more than just being engaged. So imagine sitting across the table having dinner with someone you're about to marry, and they pronounce to you that, you know, hey, I'm with child. Or, hey, I have a child with another person. I think that would turn the mood of that moment. And that's exactly what's going on here with Joseph. He's hearing some things from Mary or from someone. We don't know for sure how Joseph found out. But nonetheless, he knows that Mary is with child. And we're going to see how he deals with this. All right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 begins. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, some of your translations will say he was a righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. In verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right, so here this morning we're going to look at a truth each week. We're going to look at a truth, and then we're going to look at a promise. And so something that we can claim, even as Christians, even though this story isn't about us, there are definitely things that are transferable towards us. So here's one of the truths. In life, there are always going to be things that bring opportunity to fear. True? I mean, here later today, you and I may have an opportunity to be afraid of something. And we'll talk about some of those things here in just a moment. But the reality is, things rise up that cause us to fear. So was Joseph afraid? All right, we know Joseph was afraid because the angel says, don't be afraid. All right, fear not. And so we see this brewing in Joseph that there is some fear going on here. But what we see here also is this. The angel didn't just say, hey, Joseph, don't be afraid. Be a man, you know, suck it up. The angel follows that with a promise. And here's why you shouldn't be afraid. So maybe you're not afraid of Christmas, but maybe there's something else entirely, or something else going on in your life that has great fear, brings with it great fear. All of this applies to that here today. And so here's the main point that we'll see, and then we'll look at three subpoints. The main point is this. The angel says to Joseph, do not be afraid, because what is going on within you or within Mary is the work of God. And so to apply it to you and I today, do not be afraid because God is at work. Though you may not understand, though it may not make sense to you, do not be afraid. Whatever it is, as a Christian you're going through, just know that God is at work. Now, it's important to note something here. One, we said Joseph was a just man, or Joseph was a righteous man, which is to say that he knew the law and he wanted to do things correctly. Believed in God and he wanted to honor God. And so we see Joseph following kind of this, what he would maybe call a spiritual protocol. This is what I should do. This is how I should work through what it is that I'm dealing with. And I want to do so in a way that honors my God. Something else to note here is that this promise was not just given to everybody. So this isn't a blanket promise for every person on the planet. This is a believer. This was a person who was trying to honor God with their life. The reality is then, don't be afraid because God is at work. And so knowing God is at work, we're going to look at a few things that will help us deal with fears. So the first one is this. Knowing God is at work. If you're following along in your bulletin, you can write these in. You don't have to whatsoever. But knowing God is at work, don't allow the situation to control your reaction. Knowing God is at work, first, don't allow the situation to control your reaction. And what we're going to see is number one and number two are flip sides of the same coin. They go hand in hand, okay? But we've got to tackle one first. Don't allow the situation to control your reaction. So in other words, what I'm really trying to say is this. Don't panic. Don't panic. When opportunity presents itself to be afraid, you may feel fear, and that's natural. Don't panic in the fear. Now, isn't that the advice that everybody gives us? When you're 35,000 feet above the ground and they tell you, hey, if all the engines cut out of this plane and we begin to plummet to the earth, don't what? Don't panic. Right? You're going to be afraid, but in that moment you need to pull this thing down so you can breathe and remember that when we hit the water and you think you're still alive, your seat is also a life preserver, which is kind of crazy. But that's what they say. Don't panic. All right? It's okay to be afraid. Just don't panic in your fear. What about if we were to drive our car off of a bridge and land in a lake or a river? You know what they say? Don't panic. What do? You know what they tell you to do? Let your car sink with your windows up. All right? Then when you settle, get to the bottom, break a window, roll it down, let your car... You're like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. See, you're panicked just like I am. I'm going out the window whether it's like cracked this much or not. Roll your windows down, let the car fill with water, then you'll be able to swim out to safety. Okay? Don't panic. I hope I never have to try to practice that. What about if your house is on fire? What do? Get out, right? You don't panic, right? Some people freeze in the moment, and they'll die there because they inhale smoke or they're burned to death. What if somebody's trying to rob you? Somebody puts you in their car. Somebody's trying to take something from you in a parking lot. Right, we usually scream like crazy. Don't panic. Right, what do they tell us when a bear is chasing you? Lay down and play dead, all right? Because you're going to be dead. I still don't understand that, but they say it works. All right, or when a big dog is chasing you, what are you supposed to do? You just stop. Right, we had this lesson here a couple weeks ago. I was running with my daughter, Lucy. She likes to run. She was running with me, and I was pushing Landry in the stroller. And in the neighborhood we run in, there's a Rottweiler that is massive, a great big old dog. And the people have an electric underground fence. Well, this dog came to that fence, and then he took two more steps. And I thought, uh-oh, that fence, something's not working. And so he or she knew that they were free, and that dog just barreled down and started coming straight towards us, foaming, barking. Was I afraid? Yes. Was Lucy afraid? Lucy was in a tree. I don't know where Lucy went. She was screaming like crazy. And so I say to this dog, hey, you stay. Stop. And Landry's in this stroller, and this dog, if this is her head, this dog comes right here. And turns around and runs back and gets on its porch. As I was trying to pull the stroller back, by the way, I wasn't like this, protecting myself with my daughter. But Lucy was going berserk, and she has a legitimate fear of dogs. And so anyway, I brought her over, and we kept walking. And I said, you don't run away. You can't panic like that, okay? If you start to run away, that dog's going to think that you're playing, and he's going to chase you. And if you're screaming, you're drawing more attention to yourself, and he's thinking that this is a fun thing for you. And so just stand still, maybe look for a stick or something, try to guide him away, but don't panic. The worst thing you can do is panic. But it's so hard in the face of fear, isn't it? When that moment comes and that's rising up in us, the last thing that we are, at least for me, it tends to be sound-minded. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Jack Groppel. I've told you about Dr. Jack. It's probably been 7 or 8 years ago. Dr. Jack runs a program called the HPI in Orlando, Florida. It's called the Human Performance Institute. Dr. Jack was a professor of kinesiology and bioengineering at the University of Illinois. He's an adjunct professor right now at Northwestern. What he works to do is with all sorts of professionals, athletes, business world, you name it, everybody, he has a program that works to achieve the best. And so he can bring the best out of you physically, the best out of you mentally. He's known worldwide for a book he's written called The Corporate Athlete. Maybe you've heard of him, maybe not. But here's one of the training procedures they do at their facility. They brought in four NFL football players who averaged 6'6" and over 300 pounds. So pretty big men, right? And this was the mission for these guys. We're going to send you out into the woods, and we've got a fence, a white fence, that's about a mile away. Your job is to run through the woods, touch the fence, and run back in like 8 or 9 minutes. And so he says that's a jog for a world-class athlete. So these guys said, okay, that's fine, we can do this. Oh, I forgot to tell you, right? There is some swamp out here, and so you may encounter an alligator. So if you do, just take precaution, steer clear around, but at all costs, make sure you touch the white fence. Okay, okay. And also, it's a warm day, guys, and so there may be poisonous snakes sunning themselves on the path that you'll be on. So if you see one of those, just take your time and ease on around it. Don't worry about it and keep on going, because above all else, make sure that you complete the mission. Touch the white fence and get back. It's okay, okay, okay. And finally, he says, hey, listen, guys, we've sighted some wild boar out here in our facility. Not sure where they came from, but they're about 400 pounds, and they will attack you unprovoked. And these guys said, okay. So they start the clock. Ready? Go. And so these great big men, and it's on videotape, these great big men are running down this path. And one of the guys from the institute is hiding in the bushes off the path. And so as they get to him, he reaches over and he shakes a bush. And he makes it sound like a pig. And you know what those NFL athletes do? They look like Lucy. I mean, heels are up and they turn and they are booking it. They are scared out of their mind. All right, so their panic, their fear caused them to panic. Now, about a week later, there were four guys from, I believe it was the FBI SWAT team, guys that cannot have their pictures photographed in any way. And they put them through the same instructions. Start of the clock, ready, set, go. All right, the same whole thing. Guy in the bushes, shaking the bush, squeezing his nose, sounding like a pig. And you know what those guys did? They went like this. All right, what's the difference? They didn't panic, all right? One was prepared for what was coming, even though they didn't know exactly what it was. They knew, I may encounter something out here, and so they were ready for it, okay? Their fear didn't dictate their life. The situation didn't control their reaction. They were willing to take it head on. And so in this life, Jesus promised us something similar, didn't he? In this life, you will have what? You will have trouble. You will have tribulation. It's just like the alligator or the snake or the boar. There are things that are going to come on you unprovoked, unexpected. And what we have to do is to know how to deal with those things when they happen. And so when that opportunity comes, what we can learn here initially from Joseph is this. Don't panic. It's okay that the fear exists there, but the fear is not meant to be what I listen to. It's not to be what drives me. And so as I don't panic, as I really think about what I'm dealing with, and we'll get to that here in just a minute, my fear is going to diminish, and we'll see that here with Joseph. Let's go to verse 19 and just the first part of verse 20. We're going to see how Joseph responded in this situation, okay? We need to clarify some things here in just a moment. Verse 19 begins, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But verse 20 begins and says, but after he had considered this. So at this moment, had the angel pronounced something to Joseph yet? No, the angel's not come on the scene yet. You and I have the benefit of hindsight. Okay, this was life for Joseph. This was his reality. And so Joseph had not heard anything from the angel yet. Does Joseph panic? No, Joseph does not panic. Does he act hastily? No, does he let his frustration or his anger or his brokenheartedness kind of dictate how he's going to act? No. See, Joseph was already a righteous man, a just man, which is to say Joseph wanted to honor God. Even though he didn't know what was going on and Mary was a God thing, he was going to treat it in a way that was God-honoring. He was not going to allow the situation to dictate his response. Does that make sense? And so fear wasn't going to rule the day. He wasn't afraid of losing that woman, all of his hopes and dreams being flushed. Above all else, he was wanting to honor God. So yes, I'll treat Mary correctly, and yes, I'll treat her respectfully, but above all things, I'm going to honor my God. And so he knew God was at work, didn't know how in the situation, but he wouldn't allow panic to rise up. So the next time you and I are faced with fear, just remind yourself of that. Don't panic. Don't panic. Don't panic. All right, now what's the flip side of that coin? That's number two. The flip side is this, knowing God is at work, we need to give God some time or some room to work. Knowing God is at work, don't panic, but also give God some time, some room to do what God does. We see that going on here in the story as well. Now, this is often easier said than done. Right? Typically, when we're in a difficult situation, do we want to stay there very long? No, we want out quickly. And we want out the easiest way possible. And at all costs, whatever it takes, I just don't want to be in this situation. Right? So typically when we find ourselves in those moments, we tend to make some difficult and poor decisions. And most often I leave God out of that equation. You ever do that? So you find yourself and you're in a bind, and is it immediate prayer? Or is it, oh, I got to hurry up and get out of it. I don't know how I got in this situation. I'm going to get myself out of this situation. We tend to leave God out of it, or we tend to make some poor choices. The reality is fear is a terrible fuel for your mind. Right? Fear is a terrible fuel for my mind. It's not been meant to be there, and so we need to deal with it appropriately. So in our story, is Joseph dragging Mary to the courthouse? No. Did he have legal authority to do so? Yes. The Old Testament tells us that if you find a woman who's not been married and she's with child, it means something's up. So you need to bring her to the court and you can expose her publicly, and then she will be stoned to death. Okay? So under the law, he had every right to take her by the arm, to drag her in and expose her in front of everybody for what he may have thought that had happened in her life. But we don't see him looking for immediate justice. We see him starting to think some things through. So let's go back to verse 20. The first part of that verse, we just read it. It begins this way. But after he had considered this. After he had considered this. So we don't see Joseph acting hastily. We don't see him running out in fear saying, this is what I got to do and I got to do it right now. We see him thinking it through. And in the time that he is thinking it through, what he's doing is allowing God to work. He's giving God some room to speak to his heart or to address the situation. So Joseph wasn't a man like me that often determines that I know what's best and God, I've got this one covered. You handle the big things, I'll handle this mess right here. Joseph stepped back and was willing to take some time to think about what's the right way to do this? What is God doing here? And how can I do this in a way that is God honoring? There are several commentators who all have made the same point on this subject. One I'll quote is this. It says this. It's the thoughtful, those who are thoughtful, not the unthinking, that God will guide. It's the thoughtful, not the unthinking, that God will guide. So it's people who are taking time to think things through that God's going to say, hey, I'm going to lead you along. It's not the people who throw their hands up and sit in their lazy boy and go, I know God's going to figure it out. He's going to do what he's going to do, so I'm not going to do anything. The people that are willing to think, those are the ones that God is going to lead. You've probably heard the expression, when you're at the end of your rope, you're not at the end of your hope. Right? What that means is when I get to my wit's end and I've tried to think everything through and I don't see how it can work out, that's where God begins to work. That's where God begins to make things clear. So let's go to verse 20 and let's read it in its entirety here. So Joseph is thinking these things. After he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is an act, a work of God. So how did this work out for Joseph? Joseph was thinking it through and he fell asleep, dozed off, and an angel speaks to him in a dream and says, hey, this thing that's going on is of God. Don't you worry about it. Okay? And so the counsel today is not this. Afraid? Go home, take a nap, have a dream, and whatever your dream tells you to do, go do it. Okay? That's not what we are advising today. That's how it worked for Joseph. That's not what we can pull from this text for you and I here this morning. What we can pull is this. When we are faced with something that has the tendency to cause us to fear, number one, don't panic. But secondly, think it through. Think it through and give God some room to work. Because God tends to specialize in working and moving when we are at a loss. So when I don't know what to do, that's where God tends to step in and give that next step of clarity. So don't panic. Think it through. Give God room to work. And then let's look at what Joseph does in response to what he hears. Knowing God is at work. Three, follow his word. Knowing God is at work, let's follow his word. Follow as he leads. Okay, so let's go back to Joseph for a minute. Does that mean everything becomes clear? No, God doesn't lay out the whole path for any of us. I mean, the Bible says your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light for my path. But I'm not seeing the end. I'm seeing today. I'm seeing next steps. And so, yes, this is what you've said, and I'm going to respond appropriately. How did Joseph respond? Verse 24, Matthew chapter 1. All right? He was afraid. He didn't panic. He was afraid. He thought things through, gave God room to work. He was afraid. An angel speaks to him in a dream. He says, take Mary as your wife. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. So what was Joseph afraid of? Joseph's fear was taking Mary to be his wife. Okay? What does Joseph do? He takes Mary to be his wife. So what has changed? Has the situation changed? Is Mary still with child? Yes. Is that child his? No. That's not Joseph's son. So nothing has changed in that scenario. I'm going to divorce her quietly, and now I marry her. What has changed is that Joseph has heard what God had said. And so anytime God says something, that always trumps our fears. And so Joseph in his mind was trying to work this out in the best way possible, and he heard a word from the Lord, and he took Mary to be his wife. See, there's this relationship there between Joseph and God. So here's the reality. If you and I have a relationship with God, we're going to find ourselves faced with fear. How am I going to respond to it? Can I look to you for advice? Absolutely. The Bible teaches that there's wisdom and counsel and godly counsel, so we can do that as it's related to God's Word. But I can always go back to God's Word. Right? I can always go back here and find exactly what I need. So this relationship between God and Joseph was strong, facing something that had him afraid. And yet, rather than be afraid, he acted in faith. God said for me to take you to be my wife, and I'm going to do so. Right? He acted immediately. There was no hesitation. And so the principle is true for us as well today. See, God's word is not there just in case I can't figure it out on my own. Right? It's not a last resort. God's word is there so we can live this life today in victory. God's word is there so that I can live a life without being controlled by my fears. So knowing that God has said something, it gives me great comfort to do what it is that he's asked me to do. Have you found that to be true in your life? Have you ever lived a day and thought, man, I don't know if I honored God at all today? I was out doing stuff and just I didn't really even think about it. We've all probably been there. But have you ever had a day where you felt like, or a moment where this was pleasing to God? I didn't get everything done today I wanted to, but what I did today is what God has said, and I was pleasing to the Lord today. I don't care what kind of fear there is. When you know at the end of your day that you've been pleasing to the Lord, there's no peace like that. There's no greater comfort than that. So when I know His Word and I understand His Word, and His Word says to love those who hate me, to bless those who curse me, to help those who cannot help themselves, to have open hands toward those who have needs, just as God has been open-handed towards me. When I live in ways that He has told me to live, man, there's great joy. There's great pleasure. There's great peace because His Word has told me how to live, and I've tried to live accordingly. And so Joseph demonstrates for us when we are afraid, follow God's Word. Follow God's word without hesitation. So this morning, what we've tried to embrace briefly is this. Fear is a reality, and every one of us can attest to that here today. We've all had fears in our lives. There's probably fears that we've handled correctly, and there's probably some fears that we say, oh, I wish I could go back and have a do-over because I panicked or I just reacted. Somebody hit me in the face, and so I socked them back. Somebody said something rude about my kid, so I said something rude about your kid. Right? And we've just reacted. And we wish we could go back. Right? What we learn here is when we're faced with fear, it's going to happen. Opportunity to fear is going to rise up. Don't panic. Give God room to work. And then as God leads you through His Word, follow what He says. You may not understand it. It didn't make sense to Joseph. It's not my child. I don't understand how it happened, but he married her anyway. Right? God, I don't understand why you're leading my family through this. I don't know why this disease has come on us. I don't know why we are without a job. I don't know why people seem to be against us. I don't know why we're struggling right now. But I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to panic. Just like you pronounced to Joseph, you're pronouncing to me today. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't panic. Give room for me to work. Think it through. And then as I lead, you follow my word. And you can have confidence today that God will lead you exactly the way you and I need to be led. So what I want to close with is this. It's just a simple question. Is there any fear in your life this morning that has some kind of grip over you? Is there any fear in your life today that has some kind of hold on you today? I'm not asking you if you're tough. Nobody's tough enough to overcome every fear. I'm asking, is there something legitimate in your life? Maybe you've not shared it with anybody. Something you're worried about. Something you don't know how it's going to work out. Something you're not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Everything that you see about that situation is terrible. It's negative. It's just not going to end well. If you are afraid, my first question to you would be this. Are you a believer? Are you a Christian? See, if you were here today and you're not a Christian, then I would counsel you, you have every reason to be afraid in whatever it is that you're facing. You should be a coward. You should be just burdened down with despair. It should rob you of joy. You should be worried beyond control. Because the only way that you have to cope with your fear is within yourself, your own ability. And at the end of the day, you and I just don't have the power to overcome our own fears. And so are you a believer? Are you a Christian? Have you put your hope in Jesus Christ? Listen, God has built you to operate on faith, not fear. Faith, not fear. Doesn't mean fear doesn't rise up, because it will rise up. But it means in the midst of that fear, I respond in faith. Not that I'm strong, but that God is at work. And whatever He's doing, I may not understand, but I trust that He's in control. When I can rest there, it dispels my fears. It conquers those things. And so where does faith begin? It all begins with Jesus. And I said everything that we're going to talk about is going to have to do with Christmas. Jesus is what Christmas is all about. No Jesus, you've just got an empty holiday like a bunch of other days off of work. Here we find something that is transformational. It's significant. It's eternal in Jesus Christ. So maybe you sit here today and you've never given your life to Christ. The truth of the matter is, He's the gift that you need. And maybe you don't know it today, but He's the gift that you really want above anything else. Because you'll never find anything to satisfy you like Jesus Christ. He's the remedy for the problem. So if I have cancer, do I go see my auto mechanic? Do you? If you have cancer, do you go to your auto mechanic? No. Now we're together. If your car needs worked on, do you take it to your physician? No. You take that to the mechanic, and when you're sick, you go see the doctor. Listen, the only remedy for sin is Jesus. So you try to remedy that and anything else on this planet, and it's a hopeless cause. He's the cure. He's what we need for our sin problem. And so maybe today you'd like to trust in Jesus as your only hope. Maybe you're here today as a Christian and you find yourself struggling with fear. What I wonder today is, have you been challenged or encouraged by God's word? I just want to encourage you one last time before we pray, and simply this. I don't know what you're dealing with today, what tomorrow's going to bring. We've all walked on here one Sunday loving life, loving the Lord, and come in here next in the pits of despair because life has happened. A difficulty has come. Somebody has passed away. And what am I going to do? It happens to all of us. Just want to encourage you. Don't be afraid. Not because I say so. Because as a Christian, God is at work. You may not understand it. But when you can rest there, it will dispel your fear.